And take your Bibles and please turn to Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Many times when a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ and they're given a Bible for the first time and they're told to go to a certain place in the Bible, many times the place that they'll go or be told to go is the book of John. The book of John is a wonderful book that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and the reconciler of God to man. There's no doubt. It's a wonderful book, a great place to start, and shows how Jesus Christ is not only able to do what He was able to do in dying for our sins, but is most certainly good enough, because if God died for our sins and said that He died for our sins, then whatever God says goes. And so Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Colossians is a book that gives the gospel several times, and it is a most precious book that will strengthen the faith of believers as you read it, study it, and love the God who wrote it for us. By the way, when God wrote Colossians, He wrote it for us. It is said that the Bible is a love letter to the people of the world from the God who created us. Colossians is a truly wonderful book, and it is a blessing to all those who would seek to understand what God has to say in these things. If you look there, in Colossians chapter 2. Now, we're not going to spend much time here, but I want you to see the main verse, the verse that really God uses to point everything else throughout the book of Colossians. God points right back to these two verses. To these two verses. And God wants us to understand that our walk with Him is no different than it was in how we received Him. That our walk with Him is a walk of faith. It is a walk, a belief, that our God knows all things and is able to do all things and loves us and will lead us in the paths of righteousness. One of the most difficult things for us all to do is to walk with Christ the same way we received Him. And so if you notice there, in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 6, the Bible says, and these are precious words, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." By the way, the walk of the believer ought always lead to thanksgiving. This is not a thanksgiving message, but our walk ought to lead to thanksgiving. Because if we are walking with Him, He is doing tremendous things. And so may God help us this morning as we look at how we received Christ. It's important for us to remember how we received Christ. Because when we receive Christ, He saves us to the uttermost. He saves us to where we are His forever. He saves us from every sin we've ever committed or ever will commit. He saves us from the grasp of the devil, for the devil cannot take away God's salvation. He saves us from His power, for the devil no longer has power over us. But all power has been given unto Christ. He has saved us unto a place of perfection. where there's no crying, no disease, no death. A place that we call heaven, and the Bible calls heaven. Brethren, if you've received Him, you're saved. But as we walk along the road of this world, we often begin to forget how we received Him. We begin to forget those days leading up into the day of our salvation. We forget what we experienced when we got saved and what God began to do and how we began to have an incredible love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would warn you that some of you here have no clue what I'm talking about. You're here and you say, well, I'm saved, but you have no memory of any love for Jesus. You say, well, I've been coming to church my whole life, and so I'm saved, but I don't remember ever really having a love for Jesus. The truth is no matter how many years you've been coming to church, you can go to church for 1,000 more. It won't save you. For church has no power to do so. I want you to understand that you need to receive Christ if ever you're going to be saved. And so God says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Let's pray. And we'll look at five things that we received the Lord Jesus Christ as. Five things that when we got saved, we understood these five things, and we asked Him to save us because of them. And so let's pray. Father, I do ask that You'd watch over us now as we learn Your Word. May You write these words upon the table of our heart. May you help us to remember how we received You. What our thought was when we called upon Your Son to save us. Lord Jesus, by these things, stir us to remembrance of how good and great You are, how good and great You were then. You have not changed. You are as good and as great today as You were then. And so help us to trust these things. And I pray, Father, for those in this room that are not saved. Maybe they think they're saved because of how long they've been going to church or how good they've been. Father, help them to know that salvation comes one way, and that is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so please do these things. And help me to preach the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by my own strength, not by my own power, but by Yours and Yours alone. Please, we pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. On Friday afternoon, many of you receive a paycheck. This paycheck is given to you based upon what you have done and accomplished in the previous week. Or at least that you were there and had punched the time card and punched it at the end. But you've got a job, and so you've received that paycheck because of what you've done. In fact, businesses really do have it all wrong when they believe that what you give them is a gift. Because what you get on Friday afternoon is not a gift. It is based upon what you have done. And the employer pays you because you have contracted yourself to get paid a certain amount because you say that you're going to do what you've been contracted to do, what you've been commissioned to do in your job. And so you receive that paycheck by expectation because of what you have done, and you've earned it, and it is yours. It is not the company's to give to you. It is yours because you've earned it. And that's truly the way business is to be done. You say, as a business owner, you're going to do such and such for me, and when you do by doing such and such for me, and doing these things, this money is yours because you've done it. It's not mine anymore, it's yours. And whenever a business person does not pay what they've done, it's fraud. Because it does not belong to them. It belongs to you. And so that's an important distinction. We receive that paycheck, but it belongs to us because it's ours by what we've earned. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not receiving something we have earned. It is very much the opposite. We are receiving what He has to give us, not based upon a contract that we've signed, not based upon a certain amount of things that we've accomplished, and by accomplishing those things, we receive what Jesus gives us. We can receive nothing from Jesus that way. Because anything that Jesus would give us cannot be earned by man. Because Jesus is God, and we fall far short of being able to in any way earn what Jesus has to give to us. When He gives us a reconciliation between Him and God, it cannot be earned. He does not say, this is given to you based upon what you've done because you've earned it. What Jesus gives us is not a paycheck. It is a gift. It is a gift given because He loves us. And He wants us to receive that gift. That word received is a very important word. Because there are those who would say, Jesus died on the cross, therefore I'm saved. No. Jesus died on the cross and you must receive what He wants to give you in order for you to be saved. You must, of your own volition, say, I know, Jesus, you died for me. And I'm coming to you to get what you died for me for. It is not an unconscious thing. It is a conscious thing based upon what we believe to be true. And so we, by faith, receive this gift. By the way, it is a gift received by faith. On Christmas Day, you'll have presents. Maybe you'll have them under a tree. If you do Christmas, you'll have presents that you'll maybe give to your children. They'll receive those things, open them up, and they will not receive them by faith, because when they open them up, they will see what they're receiving, right? When we receive salvation, we are receiving salvation by faith. Even though we cannot see what Jesus says He will do, we trust that when we receive it, He will do it. And by the way, I want you to know that it is 100% absolute, positively true that if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. You receive Him and He gives you everything that He said He would give you if you received Him by faith. Now I want you to listen. This is of the utmost importance. When Paul writes Colossians, he's calling these people to a remembrance of how they were saved. Because it's by this remembrance that they will walk with Him in this world. Because we cannot see Christ, but I know that He is. I do not say these things based upon a lack of experience, but I know that Jesus Christ has saved me. Because of what He has wrought in me. Because of what He has done for me. It is said by the atheists who blindly believe that there is no God. That we blindly believe that there is a God. But we do not blindly believe. Though it is by faith, and though it cannot be seen, I know it is true. Because of what He has done. And how He has changed my life. And how I've seen Him change lives over and over and over again. There's one solution for the problem that this world has of militant and true military Islamic people who want to destroy the foundations of governments around the world. And that's the gospel. There is no other solution. The United States can live in a perpetual war against a people who hate us and hate Israel and hate God. I promise you, our guns and our bombs will not effectively wipe out Islam. But Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Now, I believe that those who did what they did in Paris need to be severely judged. Just as I believe that those men who blew those bombs in Boston, killing and maiming dozens of people, when one got run over and killed, he immediately entered into his eternity. And if that man was not saved, and I do not believe he was, he faced a God in all his wrath, and they got what they deserved. I believe in justice with my whole heart, but I'm glad I don't have to face the justice of God because of the gift that Jesus Christ gave me. You see, we lift ourselves up as better than those who've done what they did in Paris. But our judgment is as sure as theirs because of what we have done. And when we face God, if we face Him not saved, we deserve what we get from His wrath. And He promises that all who are judged according to their works, rather than judged according to the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire. And that was my lot before Christ. But He saved me. And He's given me a new life. And He wants me to walk in the same understanding that I understood when I got saved. And so if you look there, Colossians, we're going to look there in chapter 1. We're going to start there in verse 13. So we'll start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember, thanks. By the way, anybody who has no thanksgiving for God, I would ask you this, are you saved? If you have no thanksgiving to give to God who has given you the inheritance that He has, are you saved? Because the end of our salvation is thanks. Thanksgiving. Now we use the word thanks as a shortening of thank you. Often when someone does something for me, I try not to say thanks. But I say thank you. Because thanks seems flippant, doesn't it? It seems almost like it's something that you have to say, but you just want to get it out as quick as you can. Thanks. But when God says thanks, He's talking about the absolute appreciation for what one has done for us. It is a giving of thanks. Thank you for doing what you've done. The end of our salvation is thanksgiving. But I want you to notice what He says. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What have we received from Him? Number one, we have received redemption. What does it mean when Jesus says, I have redeemed you? I have called you by name, as we sung this morning. I have called you by name, you are mine. What He means is this. He has taken us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Listen, when we say we need to look back at how we received Him, one of the very things that we receive, this is wonderful, is that we receive redemption. Understand that when you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your Savior, when you said, Jesus, You died for me. I'm a sinner. You died for me. I'm asking You to save me. What you were asking and what you knew when you were saying it. By the way, you knew it. You may not have known the Bible verses. You may not have known, you may not have ever heard the word redemption except when it comes to the little words on a coupon. You may have not known any of those things, but when you asked Jesus to save you, you were admitting that I am in darkness, but Lord, You can take me into the light. I am in darkness because of my sin. I have loved my sin and I have lived in darkness, but Lord Jesus, You will take me into the light. He has taken us out of darkness, and 1 Peter tells us, into His marvelous light. When we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we're taken out of the place of darkness and into the light. And I want you to know, any sane person doesn't want to live in darkness. They want to live in the light. But there's no way to get there. Did you know there's no way for a person to get to the light? They can climb the highest mountain in hopes to get to the light. They will be in darkness at the top. A person can say, I will give all my money if only I can get into the light. They can give it all. And still, they'll be in darkness. But when we receive Christ, He immediately translates us. That's what the Bible says. He uses the word translates. Out of darkness and into light. That's what the Bible means when it says redeemed. When you sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, you are saying, I was in darkness, but You took me out of darkness, and You brought me into the light. As you've received Him, so walk ye in Him. You were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You were taken out of the possession of the devil himself, who had His ownership over you. And you were taken from Him and brought into the light. The Bible puts it this way. We're in bondage to the devil, who is a strong man. We are enslaved in his home. We cannot get out of the home. It's like one of those dear ladies who are kidnapped and put into the darkness of some nasty, terrible man. And they live there in that darkness. There's no way to escape unless that man is tied up. And the way Jesus puts it is that first that man needs to be tied up, and then we can be taken out and redeemed from that darkness and into the light. When we called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we were taken out of darkness. And we were placed into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We are His. We don't belong to the devil. We belong to Jesus. We are redeemed. Number one, when we received Christ, we received His redemption, and we were taken from darkness into the light. Look what it says. Verse 13, who have delivered you from the power of darkness. Can you imagine that? We were under the power of darkness. What power do we have against that darkness? None. But He had translated you. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When we received Christ, we received His redemption. Brethren, that's precious. That is very, very good. Young people, if the Lord doesn't return soon, you have a lifetime to live. Will you live understanding this? I have been redeemed. I have been taken out of the darkness and placed in the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us. who had delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Number two, how did we receive Christ? We received him as our Redeemer. Number two, when we received him, we received him as the one who is the creator of all things and is in fact our creator. He created all things and he in fact created us. The Bible tells us that we were formed by God in the wombs of our mothers. God's hand is what formed us. When we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we are receiving the one who created us. Now, before we are saved, we may have some understanding of how God created us. That God is the one who created all things. But when we receive Christ, we are receiving Him as our Creator. As the one who made us for Himself. You see, before we're saved, here's the thing. Listen. We may say to people, I believe in God. I believe He made the trees. I believe He made the rivers. I believe He made the sky. I believe He made me. We may say that before we receive Christ. But when we receive Him, we're receiving Him as our Creator, the one who made us for Himself. That God, you made me. Jesus, you made me for you. I've been living as if you made me for me. But I'm receiving you now. You made me for you. One of the great difficulties, one of the greatest terrible things about this world is how many people live believing that they've been made for themselves. That's all there is that I've been made for me to do whatever I can to get whatever I can for me. And people live that way even in their charity. Bill Gates gives $1 billion, which is literally nothing compared to what he has. That's amazing. He gives, why? I promise you, he does not give because he believes I've been made by God. He gives because if he believes in a God at all, he believes simply this, I've been made for me. And I'm going to give for me. But when we get saved, when we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive Him, we are receiving Him as the one who made us for Him. And everything changes. Everything changes. Because now we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him. When we receive Christ, how do we receive Him? We received Him as our Redeemer. When we received Christ, how do we receive Him? We received Him as our Creator. Notice what the Bible says here in Colossians. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And so when we receive Christ, we are receiving Him as our Creator. And by the way, when He says, I make all things new, He creates us again. Praise the Lord for that. He says, I make all things new. That means He makes us new. And so He recreates us when we get saved. If you look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 9, That's the wrong verse. But anyway, if we notice here, Colossians chapter 1, he tells us that he created all things, and they were created by him, and they were created for him. He is the God who created all things, and he created you for him. That's how we received him. And as we received him, so ought we to walk in him. Number one, we received him as our redeemer. Number two, we've received him as our creator. Number three, we have received him as our sustainer. Notice what the Bible says in verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that word consist is a very important word. It means to be brought together. It means to be brought together. What that means is this, and this is where true Bible Christianity parts ways with every other religion. God says that it is by Jesus Christ, when we received him as the one who makes all things work. It is by him that all things consist. In other words, all things are brought together by him. In other words, we are sustained in this world by him. The scientists would say to us that the earth is not held by anything. But I know this, that the earth is held by God. Now, the earth is not on the back of some turtle, as ancient religions used to speak. But I know this, that without God, the earth would not be. It would have flown into the sun. It would have been destroyed utterly already. Why does the earth work the way it is? Because God made it that way, and he is the one who sustains it. Did you know there are literally like 13,000 things that if they didn't work exactly the way they work, we would not be alive? It's amazing how a person can say there is no God and yet understand that if the world was tilted just a couple of degrees in either direction, we wouldn't be here. To understand that if the moon wasn't there, we wouldn't be here. To understand that if the moon was too much further away, it wouldn't do what it does to the coasts, cleaning up the oceans, allowing for all the world to have food. That if the water cycle didn't work the way it did, with the water being evaporated by the sun. By the way, if the atmosphere of our world that God has consisted as sustained was not there, there would be no water. It would be gone. The water would be gone. There'd be no water cycle that we need. By the way, all life consists because there's water. And there are thousands of other things that if they were not there, neither would we be here. How can all those things be put together and kept together? Well, it's because Jesus Christ is the one by which these things consist. We are sustained. When we received Christ, we may not have understood very much about the world scientifically and how many things have to go together for us to live. But when we received him as the one that puts us together. That I am sustained and kept here because Jesus, I'm receiving you that way. Before we got saved, it didn't matter who kept us together. We didn't live that way. We didn't live as if there was one who needed to sustain us. We live the way we want to. But God, when we get saved, we received him and we said, I need you. Without you, I'm nothing. I'm falling apart. And that's what he's saying here. By him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Number four, when we received him as preeminent. Before we were saved, we may have said, God, you're the greatest. But when we received him, we were receiving him as the one who is the greatest. We were admitting that Jesus is the greatest. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. When we received Him, we received Him as the one who is best. By the way, we couldn't receive Jesus Christ and be saved unless we received Him as the one who's best. We couldn't receive Him and say that, well, Jesus may be equal with Buddha. Guess what? If you think Jesus is equal with Buddha, you're not saved, because Jesus is preeminent. He is above all. When we received Him as the one who is the best. He is the preeminent one. No person can be saved if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is best. And if Jesus Christ is best, how are we to walk? Are we to walk as if He's second best now that we're saved? No, we walk knowing that He is best. He's our Redeemer. He is our Creator. He is our Sustainer. He is the best. And last, number five, He is our Reconciler. He is the one that balances it all. He is the one that took the weight of our sin, which weighed our balance. Now that's what the word, when we use the word reconcile, we are talking about a balance. How many of you ever watched a cartoon or a show and you'd have a balance, right? You know what I'm talking about? And you'd put weights on one side, and what would happen to the balance? Right? Then you'd get weights on the other side, and then you'd put a little bit more weight on that side, and it would lift over here. And you'd want to, the idea, in elementary school, I remember using these things in science to understand weights, right? You could have one big thing over here and five little things over here to balance it out. Guess what? You know what the weight of our sin does? The weight of our sin is as the weight of the world. Nothing is going to balance it out. There is no reconciliation. Add a good work, guess what? The balance doesn't even move. Add a lifetime of good works, guess what? The weight of our sin is such that the balance doesn't even move. But we have a God who's made all things, and with His little finger can reconcile us with the weight of our sin. And He gave Himself to die on the cross for our sin, to make a balance between our sin and Him. He broke down the middle wall of partition. He redeemed us and He reconciled us. He is our reconciler. He has made the balance sheet equal of our life. We go before God. How many sins have you committed? I don't know. A million. God says, you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're reconciled. The balance, what you owe, zero. You've received Christ. Have you received Christ? If you've received Christ, you've received Him as your Redeemer. By the way, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He had taken our wicked works, cast them out. He has reconciled the balance. The weight of our sin has been taken, and the weight of Christ's death has made it equal. In other words, all our sins are gone. They're forgiven. They're forgiven. When we received Christ, we received Him as our Redeemer. We did, didn't we? Even though we may not have heard the word Redeemer before in our life, we received Him as the one who took us out of darkness and into light. When we received Christ, we received Him as our Creator. Not just the one who made all things, but the one who made all things for Himself. When we received Christ, we received Him as our Sustainer. We understood when we received Him that without Him, we would fall apart. In fact, many of us received Him because we were falling apart. We received Him because we understood He's preeminent. There's no one greater than Christ. Then there is no one greater than Christ. And we received Him as our reconciler, who took our sin out of the way, having nailed it to His cross. I want you to know, if you have not received Christ, it's because you haven't received Him in these things. I want to ask you this. Have you received Christ? Have you received Christ? Or was there something in these five things that you did not agree with? You said, I don't believe that. I want you to know, if you do not believe that Jesus is the greatest, you may have prayed a prayer, but you're not saved. How could you be? If you don't believe He reconciled you, taking your sin out of the way, you may have prayed a prayer, but how can you be saved? You see, when you received Him, you received these five things. But if you have not believed these five things, you may not know the words, but really, when you asked Him to save you, you asked Him based upon these things. I would propose to you, you're not saved. I want to ask you. You who are in this room, are you saved? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. You may not be saved. You say, I've been going to church all my life, but Jesus has never been preeminent. Yeah, I've been religious, but Jesus is not my sustainer. You know, I've done a lot of good things. Jesus is not my reconciler. I've been living my life, but I haven't been coming to the light. I haven't come to the light. I've not been redeemed. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. And I'd like to lead you in a prayer. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm not saved. You may even pray to prayer, but you know that these five things were never part of your receiving Christ. They never were. I want to ask you this. If you're not saved today, and you say, you know what, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved. I want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I believe these things about Him. I believe them, and I want to receive Him. If that's you today, I would like you to do this. I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you, and I'd like to lead you in the same prayer I prayed when I received Christ myself. In the quietness of the moment, would you pray this? Lord Jesus, I haven't thought about You the way I should. My mind about You is not You as my Redeemer, my Reconciler, my Creator, my Sustainer. It's not been that, but today I believe these things. Jesus, You died for me. You died to take my sin out of the way. Lord Jesus, I believe this. You died for me. You rose from the dead, proving that You are all of these things. And today, Lord Jesus, I want to receive You as my Savior. I'm asking You, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, save me. If you received Him today, you received Him as these things. And oh, so many more. You have a home in heaven that cannot be taken away. We're praying for you. But more than that, the Lord Jesus is praying for you. And He loves you. Brethren, Christian, are you walking in Him as you received Him? If not, today is the day to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, Reconciler, Creator, Sustainer. Remember Him. Come back to Him in that way.